Sanhedrin, Perek Vav, Mishnah Dalad, 6-4, and now we get to the lamentable part of the story where the convicted person is actually Niskal, he's killed by the skila process. So the Mishnah details how that happens. So it says, first of all, Beis Haskila Haya Gavoa Shtei Komos, the height of the structure from which they're going to be pushing him off, which will be intended to kill him, is 2 komos. Now, this usually is translated as 2 stories high, and not a terrible translation, but not quite precise. The idea here is that a koma is the height of a person. Let's just call that 6 feet to be round. The idea is that it's the elevated the height of 2 people's heights. That gets you to 12 feet. And the Gemara speaks out, we mean like above his head, of course, because the first 6 feet, let's call it, he's standing on the ground and his head's 6 feet off. So we mean essentially triple the height of an average person. So now we're reaching like something approaching 18 feet off the ground, hence roughly 2 stories. But the idea precisely is it's like I said before. So the idea is that we're going to be pushing him off of the structure, and he's intended and expected to die from this fall. Although stoning, you might think, requires like actually pelting him with stones. This is the pasuk actually in Yisro talking about not approaching Har Sinai, says ki sakol yisakel. That could be with the stoning, like the pelting of stones, the throwing of stones. O yaro yira'eh, or being, I call it, that's being thrown, pushed. So the idea is he's going to be pushed off is equal to stoning him. So either kind of we bring the stones to him, or we bring him to the stones, if you will. So we're going to push him off this platform, and we expect him very possibly to die from the fall itself, from the impact. Now, since it's intended to kill him, you might ask, why don't we make it much higher? Then for sure he's going to die. The answer is, we have this ongoing tension between carrying out what has to be done and the mitzvah of Ve'avta l'Recha Kamocha, to do it in a way that is the most dignified, the least painful, the most quick as possible. So there's a tension here, okay? And of course, because nothing about this is dignified or painless or quick. But if the platform be too high, so then when he falls, his body is likely to be sort of like mangled, and it could actually burst open at the abdomen, etc., which would be, of course, extraordinarily undignified. We don't want that to happen. So therefore, this sort of like triple the height of a person, height is the amount at which was decided upon. So, Echad min ha'edim dochofo al masnav. So now, who carries out the execution? It's the witnesses themselves. They're the primary ones to do it, because, of course, they're the ones who know with absolute certainty that he deserves to die. Everyone else sort of relying on them. So we make them carry out the punishment, which, of course, is not a very fun place to be, but that's how it goes. So one of the two witnesses, witness A, we'll call him, pushes him off from the top of the building. Now, the person will have his hands tied. In my imagination, it's tied behind his back, and I have some indirect evidence that's the case, but I don't see it anywhere black and white, so maybe it's tied in front of him for all I know. The Rambam says also he's given what to drink, like I said before. Now, he's pushed from behind. The exact words of the Mishnah is al masnav. Now, masnaim are the place where the legs attach the torso, which could be translated as either loins, which kind of hurts, like they call it the inside of the upper thigh, or the hips, which we call the outside of the upper thigh, if you will. The thought here is we're talking about hips, right? So he's standing, the person being executed is standing at the edge of the top of this building. He's facing out toward the ground. One of the witnesses, witness A, pushes him from his hips forward. Now, nefach alibo. Now, he might rotate in the air and fall sort of face down, or he may not, of course. If he does, so that means he's kind of now laying face down on the ground. Remember, his back isn't even covered if it's a man. So he's exposed. Of course, there's nothing more degrading than that, being sort of face down and dead, or more or less dead on the ground, and essentially on top of that being undressed. So therefore, hofecho al masnav, we turn him back over, putting him on his back, if you will, so his chest is up, his face up now. It's a little strange that it shows the expression al masnav, on his hips, if you will. But in any case, clearly masnav here means from behind, so he's back on his, being turned over into his back. There's a separate reason why we want him to be on his back with his chest up, because in a moment we're going to be throwing a large stone on his chest if he's still alive, and we want that to be effective in killing him promptly so it doesn't drag out any further. So says the Mishnah, imesba, if the convict is killed through this, meaning through being pushed off of the base of skila, then yatza, then they have fulfilled their obligation, which is actually a mitzvah to carry this out, of execution, and then it's over. V'im lav, but if he survived the fall, he's not yet dead. So then, Hasheni, the second of the two witnesses, Notel Esa Evan, takes a rock, the rock really, V'nosna Alibo, and he throws it onto the chest of the this convicted fellow. Now the word nosta means places on, but Tosiontos speaks out. It has to be a case of throwing, because skila implies like hashlacha, throwing of the stones, like we have another psukim. And Gemara adds some color here. There's actually this, we have a specific stone here which is very large. It's so large actually that one person can't lift it up. So it's a two person, requires two people to lift it up. So both of the witnesses, Mr. A and witness A and witness B, will both be lifting it up together. But since the pushing off was carried out by witness A, now the throwing of the rock, if necessary, will have to be done by witness B. So what happens is they both lift the rock up together, and then kind of over the chest of the convicted, and then witness A will sort of pull his hands away, and witness B will sort of push the rock down hard with force so that it crushes the convict. By that way he's carrying it out. So even though it says nosna, it's really he's throwing it. Okay? Now im mesba yatsa, if through the throwing of that large, very large stone on his chest, the convict dies, then they're yield to the obligation. V'im lav, but if not, meaning if he's still alive, then regimaso b'chol Yisrael, then everyone who's looking on will also pelt him with stones. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, Yada Edim Tia Bo Barishona Lahamiso, the hand of the witnesses will be on him first to kill him, Biyad Kol Ha'am Bachrona, and then the hand of the rest of the nation next, second. Now, the Gemara speaks out that this was never necessary. Every convict always died either from being thrown off of the base of Skila or the subsequent throwing of a very large rock on their chest that put an end to them. People didn't survive that in practice. But in theory, the pelting is a possibility, and the Pesukim will allow for that, of course, if theoretically need be. That very large stone was designated and pre-placed there at this, you know, the Skila area. After it was used, it would be buried, so that if there be another execution carried out over here, it would be able to new stone that was brought special in again. Now, V'chol niskalin nislin, the Rabbi Eliezer. After he is dead, if he was stoned through skila, so then according to Rabbi Eliezer, all people who are suffer chol niskalin, everyone who suffers the skila process, then must be hanged from a tree. Okay, I don't say a tree. We'll describe what they're hanged from in a second, like a timber of wood. Okay, that's Rabbi Eliezer shita. V'chacham amrim, no, they don't agree. Eina nisla ela hamagadef va'oved avodah zara. They say no, only it's very limited. It's limited to just two specific crimes, either megadef, which is like a blasphemer who curses Hashem, or someone who worshipped idols. So now let me just take a step back, make sure it's clear. The mitzvah of hanging the person up, we'll describe how that looks in a second, like I said, applies only in the context of skila, meaning for sure not the other three, sorry, for herig chenek, and there's no taliyah at all, no hanging. But even when it comes to this fourth, you know, the most severe way of dying, which is the stoning, the skila, so it's a machlokas here if it applies to everyone who is in this color, just to these two crimes of Megadef and of Avodah Zarah. The machlokas is basically based on psukim, halacha follows the chachamim, which means it's only for a Megadef and an Avodah Zarah person. It's specific to those two, and the reason why it's really a Megadef in the context of the pasuk, and the reason why the Ovid of Avodah Zarah, the idol worshiper, is included as well, is because elsewhere, Avodah Zarah is referred to as Es Hashem Hu Megadef, the one who serves idols has been Megadef, has blasphemed Hashem. So since Avodah Zarah is called Megadef, he's also included in that this obligation, this mitzvah of Tliyah, of hanging up. Now, what does that mean to be hanged up? It's not a hanging. He's not hanged. He's hung, if you know the difference. Meaning he's not, don't think of like a noose around his neck. That's not what's happening here. What's going to happen, we'll describe in a moment here. Now, the second thing, before I describe how it looks, is another machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer says, Ha'ish tol naso panav klap ha'am. Rabbi Eliezer holds that if you're going to be hanging this man, he's going to be facing the audience or looking at him. And Va'ish, if a woman is hung, so then paneha klap ha'aitz, she'll be facing away from the people towards the, I call it the timber, the pole on which she's hung. That's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. Chacham Omrim, no, they don't agree. They say, ha'ish nisla ve'ena ish nitlis. They say this obligation for suspending the person, for hanging them, doesn't only just apply in the case of a Megadef. It also only applies to a Megadef who's a male, not a female. Women aren't hung like this at all. This is also based on the pasuk. The pasuk refers to a man and the ish. We understand it means literally the ish. V'chi yeh ba'ish chet v'saliso so'ala eitz. Only an ish, not an isha. And that'll be the halacha as well. So we're just talking just men and just men who are Megadef or Avod Avazar. Now, before we discuss what this hanging thing looks like, Rabbi Eliezer is going to argue on those two points. He's going to say, no, you can see here that it's not just for Megadef, and also it's not just men. Because Amar Lahen Rabbi Eliezer, Vahalo Shimon ben Shetach, Tala Nashim b'Ashkelon. Rabbi Eliezer says, listen, there's a clear precedent. Everyone knows the famous story of Shimon ben Shetach, who was the head of the Jewish people, the Nasi in the time of the Hasmoneans, and he famously executed 80 women who were machashefim. They were like witches performing sort of sorcery, whatever it is, and that obviously had been very widespread problem amongst the Jewish people, and Shimon ben Shetach said, Ad kan, no more of that. We're going to make a public, you know, public display, which will put people on notice that this is not going to be tolerated anymore. And that's the idea, basically. Even if we say the man is facing towards the Am, the idea is, although of course it's rather disrespectful and sort of a disgrace to be facing them, them watching you dangle from a pole and you're dead, it's to make an impression on the people that they shouldn't be Megadef. So similarly, Shimon ben Shetach did this to make sure that people realize that this is, we're not going to tolerate this kind of witchcraft and sorcery anymore, and therefore he killed these 80 women in Ashkelon. The point is, Rabbi Eliezer says, you see, it's not for a crime that's Megadef or Avodah Zarah, it's something else, and it's not just men, it's women. Amrlo, the rabbi said back to him, the Chacham said, no, you can't bring a proof from that story. That's always a one-off. Because look, the proof in the pudding is that Shmonim Nashim Tala, there were a whopping 80 women who were suspended on that day from the trees, or whatever they were, the poles. And you see that couldn't have been a normal process because Ve'ein Danin Shnayim B'Yom Echad. The rule is you can't even do two people on the same day in terms of a capital case. We saw earlier on in the Masechta, right? We just saw that they have to do everything they can to try to avoid a guilty verdict. And they have to, you know, after, even if they're going to make a guilty verdict, they have to stay up all night and they have to not eat and drink and the like. So obviously, they need to do one at a time because you need to have your full focus on each accused person. So it's, you're not allowed to do more than one in a day. So how is it possible there were 80 women in one day? The answer is this was something like a hura'a shah, like a one-off special enactment that was done at the prerogative of Shimon ben Shetach, sort of a one-time thing because he felt that the alternative was worse and unthinkable, that the whole society was crumbling and falling into this like major pattern of Avodah Zarah. And there are a few kind of examples of this in Shas where you have the Chachamim doing something sort of in an extra legal way for the sake of saving society. Typically, Hura'a Shah is something which applies to a Navi. But here was a Chacham of Shimon ben Shetach. The point here, however, in our context of our Mishnah is that you can't bring a proof from here to the Chachamim because that was a special circumstance, and therefore the Chachamim stick to their position, which is the Halacha, which is only men, and it's only the Megadef and the Avodah Zarah. Now, says the Mishnah, Ketzad Tolanoso, and in the Bavli, this is like a new Mishnah altogether, but our Mishnah continues on. How does this hanging work? Okay, so again, don't think of it as being like with a noose from the neck. What it is mashkin es hakora ba'aretz. You take a big pole, like a timber, and you embed it in the ground. Va'etz yotze mimena, and there's like a cross beam, like a gibbet or something that comes off the side of it, mimena. U'makif shte yadav zu al gabi zu. You bring his two hands together. This word makif is kind of unfamiliar, but we did see it in this context. Remember, if you had like minha mukaf in the context of chalat, be close together. Here too, it's makif. You bring together his two hands, like one on top of the other. Again, this is one of my proofs that it seems to me that his hands were tied behind his back, so they have to retie them together in front of him, because behind won't work, as you'll see in a moment. And then with his hands together, so to speak, like one end of the rope is like tied behind the wrists, around the wrists, and then the other side is like slung over this pole to suspend him. So he's like dangling from his hands from this wood, from this timber. Okay, so again, umakiv shtei yadav zuga al gabi zu, the hands come together, the sola also, and he is suspended just momentarily above the ground, dangling by his hands. Rabbi Yose Omer hakora muta al kotel. He says, no, it's not like this driving a pole into the ground and then the crossbeam. It's what you do is you take this pole and you lean it against the wall, if you will. So it's at an angle. And then v'sola oso kaderech hatabachin. The person is suspended, dangling off the middle of this slanted pole, the same way butchers, osin, the way the butchers do it, of suspending the carcass so they can flay it after they've, to prepare it to be butchered. So that's Rabbi Yose's position. It's based on Pesukim because essentially the Pesukim, I'll just simplify this for a minute, say that the drasha is that it has to be there's no other work required. So with the wood. So the wood, which is going to have to be buried, no other work required, says Rabbi Yose, that would include sort of driving into the ground. The Chachamim agree with that sort of drasha, but they have a different application. They say, no, the wood is driven into the ground. What no other work required is talking about is that after the hanging of the person who's been in this call, so they're going to bury the timber, and it can't therefore be that it's a living tree, which has to be cut down, okay, because the work has to be done. Therefore, halacha being like the Chachamim, we do take a pole and drive it into the ground with the crossbeam and suspend the niskal from it momentarily. And the restriction simply is that it has to be not a living tree. It has to be like a piece of wood that was detached from the ground, and then you're sort of sticking it in again. Okay, that'll be the halacha. Now, umatirn oso miyad. You have to immediately unhang him. So the Gemara says this: the moment of hanging is so short that you actually have to have two people. One person will be sufficient. One person brings him up, and the second person immediately brings him down again. So it's sort of just a moment. But that one moment is supposed to make a lasting impression on the onlookers. But this is obviously something that we don't want to ever happen again. Now, we're transitioning now the Mishnah, as we wrap up this Mishnah here, a long Mishnah, of course, into the mitzvah, there's two mitzvahs. The iser of leaving, we had one mitzvah of, there's one mitzvah of suspending him, hanging him. But now we have two new mitzvahs, which is to not leave him there, dangling. And then that's to lav, and then the mitzvah's asay of to bury him promptly. Okay, so Mishnah says imlan, if he's left there overnight without having been buried, lina requires till the morning. So then you haven't just not done the mitzvah's asay of to burying him, but you also done the lo sasa, you're over below sasa. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, lo salin nivlaso al ha'etz, you should not leave his carcass dangling on the wood. Ki kavor tikbarenu, the pasuk says, actually you will prompt, you'll bury him and certainly bury him. And this double lashon of kavor and tikbarenu, the double expression, teaches you that it actually applies not just to people who have been, stoned and hanged, but rather anybody who has, anyone who's died, has to be buried promptly. So we'll discuss that more in the next mishnah, but the basic idea is there's a mitzvah to bury someone promptly and not leave them unburied. Now, the end of the pasuk says, ki killas Elokim talui, which means something like the person who has been suspended is cursed of Hashem or something like that. Kolomar, the Mishnah explains, hard to translate, but the Mishnah explains that what the point here is. The point is that it's a curse to Hashem, so to speak, to see someone dangling from the tree, because people will see that and they'll say, mipnei ma ze tali, how come this guy was dangling like that so horribly? Bibnei sheberach es Hashem. They'll answer, because he cursed Hashem. The word berach, of course, means blessed literally, but it's a euphemism for cursing. And of course, because we're passing the stone about the megadeth, the one who blasphemed and cursed Hashem. And therefore, v'nimtza shem shemayim mischalel, it'll turn out then that, it's a further desecration of Hashem's name, and therefore we take them down and bury them promptly.